Hello and welcome to Caffeinated Monsters, your bi-weekly comedy old podcast. I'm your host, Faith, as always. And today we've got Eve with us, who is part of the Real Horror podcast.
Hello.
Always lovely to have a new guest on.
Thank you very much. I'm very excited to be here. I'm excited.
So am I. It's nice to sort of like get new people involved. But yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself then.
Right, so I'm Eve. I've been acting in the horror world since, I think, roughly sort of 2017, I think. It sort of phased in. I kind of trained originally in like musical theatre and ballet. So this is like other end of the spectrum, but this is fine. This is how life's meant to be. I've been acting in horror films and horror shorts and whatnot. For quite a while, and very, very recently, within the last sort of 6 months, within the last year, we set up myself and Anna Dixon, who work with Mike, who's Mike's wife, and Mike is the owner of Micro Entertainment, and they're a indie horror film company. So Mike's wife Anna, who I'm very friendly with, we met on a film called Mask of Thorn that they made. We ended up making, as everyone did in lockdown, started our podcast, and because you know we kind of decided to go with a bit of real horror, as in actual sort of true crime. That's what I'm looking for. We kind of decided that we didn't want to do anything too recent because that sometimes can feel really insensitive, particularly if there's people still alive that are affected by things that happen. So we went like historical true crime. And when we were making the podcast, every time we were talking about a new true crime, we were kind of like, wouldn't it be really cool if we could actually make this into a film? And so then I'm talking about 6 months ago, we decided to actually do it and actually made our first short film, which was called Libra, and it was part of a sort of an anthology film. And we had so much fun. We kind of decided that we wanted to, like I say, create films particularly around true crime, particularly around historical true crime, but we also wanted to create something that was a safe environment for everyone set. And I know that sounds really, really stupid and basic, but sometimes it's not always, you know, as you'd expect it to be. And don't get me wrong, like some of my all-time favorite times of my life have been on an indie horror set, and I've had an absolute ball, and I'm incredibly lucky to have had the experiences that I've had. But there are occasional times where the power imbalance has meant that you're kind of pushed to do things or pushed to do things that you wouldn't normally, and you don't feel comfortable saying no because you don't want to be like a difficult person. But you know, had communication been better before the day, you might have either potentially said no to something, or which you feel like you can't at the time. And basically the thing that we're trying to set up with Real Horror is obviously create some amazing content, some real good quality content, but having a real open conversation all the time with actors and crew that we work with, and just making sure that everyone's voice is heard and that no one feels comfortable at any time. And we just think that's really, really important to do. And that's kind of what we're about.
Well, that's good. It's nice that you want to not only hear people out, but you want to sort of go, you know what, if you don't feel comfortable with something, you can speak up about it. We won't have a go at you or anything like that. We won't go, pfft.
Absolutely. Yeah. I just think it's so important, because then surely by making your actors, your crew as comfortable as possible, what you're doing is then putting them at ease, and they're more likely to become more relaxed and more creative, and that in itself is creating the high quality content. And I just so important to focus on.
Exactly. Like the nicer you are to people, the more likely they'll want to work with you again.
Oh God, yeah. Yeah, definitely. We've just started sort of planning for our second short film, and that is based on the story of Isabel Gowdy. The witch trials of the 1500s, 1600s. She was one of the sort of most well-known witches, in inverted commas, of the 1600s. And she was in a Scottish witch called Isabel Gowdy. And her story is fascinating. So we originally covered her as a podcast where we talked all about her and all about her history. And then, yes, this is a film we decided to start with, true crime-wise. And yeah, it's like we're in the stages at the moment of funding for the film's called Witch Trial. And we've got a historical advisor on board, we've got our lead actress, and it's all kind of starting to come together, and it's really, really exciting. But I think, as I was saying to you earlier, it's like we're at a nail-biting point now where it's kind of like, are we going to actually be able to raise some money to do this? Or so we're in our campaign at the minute, we've raised just under 50% of our target, and we're about 50% of the way through, so it's like, come on! It's terrifying, but hugely exciting.
I'd say I'm looking forward to seeing it, because I like watching films with witchcraft elements in it, because it's kind of like, oh, this is really cool. Like, it's seeing another dynamic in it. And thank God it's not about the bloody Salem witch trials, because that was just, there's so many films about that already.
Yeah, we won't do another one there. That, like, actually, you saying that, it's like, that's kind of why we wanted to go with Isabel, because while she is a really, really well-known witch of the Scottish witch trials, actually in the grand scheme of the witch trials on a larger scale, she's actually someone whose story isn't really told and hasn't really in that way. So yeah, that's kind of why we wanted to get her story out there and talk about her.
The story looks interesting. I like the tagline of, they wanted a witch, now they've got one.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So so just very, very briefly about Isabel Gowdy, who we're making the film about, is she made these absolutely fantastical, bizarre kind of confession. Our podcast was called The Four Confessions of Isabel Gowdy. And she just, they were so vivid, these confessions she made, and all about dining with fairies and Satan and really sexual encounters with Satan. And the detail she went into, she'd morph into a hare to get away from dogs that were chasing her. And she just went into so much detail about all the incantations that she'd talk about, transforming into no more and then transform back. And she actually ended up getting about 45 other women directly involved, because she named them witches, which is absolutely nuts. Like, oh my God. Yeah, she, what we kind of feel quite weird about her is, obviously when the witch trials were going on, there was a lot of torturing of the women that were accused of witchcraft to try and get, you know, out of them whether they were a witch or not. Whereas with Isabel Gowdy's case, there isn't actually any evidence to say that she was tortured or interrogated in any way like that. I mean, we're talking 1600s, so obviously record keeping that long ago is like, yeah, she's just fascinating, because like I say, there's no real reason that we know of that she came forward to make all these mad confessions. So yeah, she's pretty interesting.
I wonder if it was what's a saying that if you're going to go to hell for one thing, why not go for like 1,000?
Like, just go for it. Yeah.
It's like, well, claiming I'm a witch, why not, you know, in for a penny, in for a pound kind of thing.
Literally, yeah, and I'm taking everyone with me, yeah. Yeah.
But you know what, I'm just going to make this as magical and as, like, absolutely mental as possible, because if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go swinging.
I'm going to go down in history, like, yeah. It's honestly, like, that's why we really want to tell her story, because she's absolutely fascinating. She just, and actually, bizarrely, there's no actual record of whether she was ever hanged or anything like that, or whether she just got away and was let off. So that's just another massive mystery about her, and it's she's an incredibly interesting person.
I'd say it sounds really fascinating.
Yeah. Well, I'm so excited, and we've got some fantastic people on board with us. We've got the wonderful Aviana Snow, and she is going to be playing Isabel Gowdy, which is really, really exciting, because she's a fantastic actress. And what I was kind of talking to you about earlier about that kind of safe space on set and everyone having a voice and all of that, we've kind of been chatting to her, and she shares that kind of vision of that's what that should always be like. And so it's just, you know, when you just really click with someone, and I think she's going to be absolutely fantastic to have on set. So I'm so excited to work with her. And like I say, we've got our historian, or historical advisor, sorry, on board as well. And that's Simon Lawrence Moore. And I mean, he's fantastic. So he is, he does loads of sort of reenactments. He's got a huge following on YouTube. And he does videos all talking about, like, British Empire, loads of military, and so much history, so much wealth of history, so much wealth of knowledge that we can tap into with Simon. And yeah, we're thrilled to have him on board as well. So it's going to be, hopefully, if we can hit our target, it's going to be absolutely incredible.
I hope you do hit target, because it does sound like a really good project to get into.
Thank you. Yeah, it's got so much promise. And like I said, talking to the guys that we've already got involved, like, it's just, we've got such wonderful people on board with it. And we've had so many kind contributions already. Like, I can't thank people in the horror community enough. Like, so many people have wanted to get involved with sharing, with their contributions, you know, buying perks to come with the film, whether that's a D, whether that's a producer credit. It's just, it's been really, really overwhelming. And it's just, amazing to think that there are people out there who really want to support us and support our kind of little dream. And it's, I can't thank everyone enough. It's just incredible.
A website. Have you ever heard of Slasher app?
No. I bet Anna has. I bet Anna would, if she was here right now, she'd be like, yeah.
I'm lurking on it. Yeah, it's like Facebook for horror fans.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that sounds incredible. Right, I'm literally, as we speak right now, I'm like making a note in my phone.
Yeah, because it's
amazing.
There's a lot of really nice people on there. It's like, it's literally just all just for horror people. So I reckon if you like share it on there, you might get a few extra people on there
that would love to get involved. Oh, that would be incredible. Yeah, I do you know what? That's what I really love about the horror community. It's like people are so in it for a community as well. And it's lovely. It's like, particularly as someone who, you know, went through the whole drama school thing and dance school thing, like that, like really was elitist. And to then kind of start moving in horror films when I did, and sort of auditioning that way and kind of getting into a few films. But like the change in dynamic when I got on a set, you know, on an indie horror set was just incredible. Like it was, it really has been like the most inclusive kind of wonderful community. And if we can do our little bit to kind of push that even more, like how incredible is that? It's just, yeah, I've honestly fallen in love with the horror community since I started. It's just incredible.
It is quite surprising how welcoming horror fans are.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's just been, I've had a ball. And I, like I say, I'm so lucky to have had the experiences that I've had. And hopefully this is kind of the start with Real Horror of a new kind of journey on that same path. But, you know, getting more people involved. And yeah, it's really exciting.
But yeah, I definitely recommend using Slasher app, even if it's just to like advertise for stuff. It's really good.
Yeah, that sounds incredible. Yeah, I'm really excited for that, because honestly, I will sit there. I love it. I'll go down rabbit holes and everything. I'm like the worst person. Oh, thank you for that. That's amazing.
So I am happy to help out with stuff like that. So
yeah, that's great.
In terms of projects, apart from the witch trial, what other projects do you think you've got might ever in the works in the future?
So, sort of separate from Real Horror, I've got a number of acting things coming up, which is really exciting. I've got a film, Dear Sister Margaret, that's been in the works for a little while now. It was all due to go ahead just before COVID hit. And that's written by Sophie Phillips. And we met up not long ago and she kind of talked me through it. And that's due to film later this year, which is really, really exciting because it's been a long time coming. So that's a very, Dear Sister Margaret is like a really quite a slow burn to kind of a high tension kind of, yeah. I'm really excited for that one because it's very different to the stuff that I've done, you know, like particularly with Myco, it's like 80s slasher kind of thing, right? And this is a much slower burn, which is really exciting to try. I'm going to be working with Jamie Evans next month. He's got an audio story at the moment called Haunted, and I think it's just finished its season one, and he's asked me to be a part of that for a little character in that for a couple of days, so that's really exciting. So I haven't done any voiceover work for a little while, so that's kind of like yeah, I'm really excited for that. And as part of Real Horror, we've got if we make our 5,000, which is our target for Witch Trial, we will be making our short film, but we do have other stretch goals. So if we manage to make as much as 10,000, we have another short film called Pierced, and that's a short film that's all about a guy called Alexander Pierce. And very briefly, I'll kind of talk you through his story. It's another one that's just like nuts. We pick them well, obviously. he's a guy that was sent off to Van Diemen's Land, which is current day Tasmania, Australia, which was the most kind of kind of like that Alcatraz of Australia, like the you cannot escape from this kind of thing. And he was in, I think I want to say it was for something stupid like stealing like a pair of boots. It was like, it was really, really harsh for like for what he did. But yeah, he got sent over for I don't know how many years, I can't remember off the top of my head. He obviously decided he was going to escape the unescapable, and took a couple of friends with him and escaped through the outback, and just kind of like picked his friends off one by one and just started eating them, which is just wow. And his story is incredible because he ends up kind of getting captured and going back to the back to Van Diemen's Land, only to escape again with another friend who he he decides to eat. But when he decides to start eating his friend, they still have plenty of food reserves at this point. So it's not, you know, he just preferred the taste of human meat by this point. It was just nuts. So with the here's the one that we would love to make at some point in the future, if not soon, would be kind of like a bit of a werewolf theme on that, because obviously we're taking these historical true crimes, but we are adding obviously our own little spin on them to give that little additional horror element. I was going to say horror element, but they're horrific enough as they are, like horror element. So that's one that we kind of really would like to get going, and we've got further stretch goals there that if we do make more than that, then we'll be able to start making them in feature films, which obviously is our real sort of final on Even Witch Trial. We'd love to make that into a feature film one day.
I'm just trying to get over the fact that he ate his friends.
Sorry, say again.
I'm just trying to get over the fact that he ate his friend, even though there was
food. Oh, yeah. No, literally. So the first time it's kind of like questionable of like, well, you know, they've been in the outback for however long, they've run out of food and the weather's dreadful. Like that. And they're like, yeah, literally, he takes someone else away, another guy that he kind of got friendly with, and just genuinely, preferred the taste of this other guy. And he just like had bits of, I'm sure they said that he had bits of him like in his pocket, just nibbling. Like, it's nuts. It's so grim.
Kind of like weird, like almost wet beef jerky.
Oh God!
That's all I can think of is just getting it out of your pocket and just eating it like little like slices. Like,
tearing into it. Blah. Yeah. So that's what we do at Real. But yeah. So grim. And So he's a really interesting guy that we so we want to delve into at some point. But yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of stories like that though, aren't there? Where it's like, you look back at history and it's like, wow, people were doing weird things back then.
Yeah, absolutely nuts. And that's kind of one of the conversations we had, Anna and I, not long ago, about like you're kind of thinking up all these like horrendous things to put in horror films and like, you know, new creepy ways to kill people off. And then it's kind of like, no, you could just look back through history and just how people have actually acted in the past is probably more unimaginably horrendous than you can just imagine in your head. And it's just, yeah, people are nuts. And unfortunately, we turn them into films here at Real Horror.
I mean, I bet there's some stories out there where you read it and you're like, that can't be real. And then you actually like look into the history of it and it's like, oh, wow, they actually didn't move that far away from it when they tried to talk about what happened.
Yeah. It's and that's the thing. We do kind of, obviously, we'll be adding our sort of, like I say, our additional sort of real horror magic to it. But we do want to kind of try and stay as accurate as possible, because like you say, when you actually look back and go, oh, no, that can't possibly. And then it's like, no, that is what happened. And yeah. I think that's always kind of like a nice like bite to it, is like, oh, bite. I've just said bite and we've just been talking about cannibals. Excellent. So glad. Oh, God.
I was just thinking that. I keep thinking about the beef jerky comment and I'm like, oh, no.
Cannibals. Oh, God. But yeah. Well, maybe I've given you like a kind of tagline for this one, just like human beef jerky. Like, oh my God.
Like, chew it like you mean it.
Yeah, oh my God.
Oh, even better. Best friends taste the best.
Yes. Oh my God. Nailed it.
God.
Oh. But yeah, that's kind of our goal, is kind of keep sharing the horror. And yeah, just kind of trying to get stories out there that I think, you know, there are some true crimes that are done and done again, you know, particularly obviously more recent cases, you know, like recently the Jeffrey Dahmer series and various
ones. People at work keep talking about that and I'm like, I'm so done.
Yeah. Do you know what, exactly, that's exactly what we don't want to be. We want to be something where people kind of pick up our films and stuff, go, oh, not heard of this, or oh, this will be a change. And because there are, like, your reaction absolutely is what we want to avoid. Like, oh God, not again. So yeah, that's kind of what we'd like to do.
I'm looking forward to seeing those projects, because
thank you.
There's so many like documentaries and TV shows and films that are focused on like you said, Jeffrey Dahmer. There's Ted Bundy, the BTK, there's who else was it, Green River Killer, and I'm like,
yeah,
can we please just talk about someone for like a couple hundred years ago and not about the Jack the Ripper, please? So on that,
yes, well, that's the other thing. The other historical is always Jack the Ripper. Yeah.
Just go for someone that's a bit more like lesser known.
Yeah, and often there's no, you know, you think of those, like you say, the really well known ones, and then you kind of think, well, you know, they're probably well known because it's the most, you know, surprising, horrendous, interesting story. But actually, the really lesser known ones as well are easily just as riveting, if not more. And yeah, that there's no reason why those stories can't be told as well. And yeah, and that's what we would get those stories out there.
Good, because I love stuff like that, where it's like, it's so mental, but at the same time, you're like, wow, this is actually based on something that's happened.
Yeah. And you know, the other spark that I would, well, and Anna, we'd love to kind of sort of set tone in people is that they watch something of ours. They either watch Witch Trial, whether that's the feature or the short film, and kind of go, I really want to know more. And they go away and they learn more. And we sort of start off an obsession. And like, how cool would that be that people find little pieces of history that they find fascinating because they've seen, you know, a horror film made by us? Like, that is such an exciting thought.
Who knows, you might start off a new fad for like a Netflix series for like called Lesser Known Killers or something.
Oh my gosh, yes. Oh, that'd be amazing. There's so much on Netflix now, isn't there, like the true crime section. Or maybe it's just me because I always go to the true crime section, but it like opens up and it's like 25 new, and I'm like, oh, it's growing, it's never ending.
I'm just as bad. If I'm having a bad day or anything like that, my missus literally goes, would you like to watch a stabby?
Oh my god, I love it. Watch a stabby.
Oh my, my god.
Yes, I would. Today is the day.
So I need to watch something where I know that the person on the screen is having a worse day than me.
Yeah, cathartic. I love it.
It's really annoying though when I'm like 5 minutes in a program and I'm like, I've seen this case already, and I have to skip something else.
Oh no, it's like, been here.
Like, seen it, skip, skip, seen it, skip, seen it. For God's sake.
Oh no, like looping round on the murders. No, it is good. So it's, yeah, I don't know what it is, but yeah, I love a true crime documentary. Just fascinating.
I like seeing how it unravels, like when programs show you like the progression of how they do forensics and how they figure out cases and stuff and how they link it together, and you're like, ooh, how did they do that? And they show you and it's like, oh, now that's interesting.
Yeah And like, there's that tiny like bit of chance that it's like, oh, just by chance XYZ happened, and that meant they were able to. It's just like these little kind of pieces that fall into place that just happen to kind of, it's incredible. That's sort of the missing piece of the puzzle kind of thing that kind of cracks the case. And then obviously you've got others that are just unsolved, you know, and I hate those. I'm sure there was a series called like Unsolved Mysteries, and I put it this will be really interesting. I'm like, I don't know why, because obviously the title is Unsolved Mysteries. And like, it doesn't take a genius to know what that means. But at the end, and I'm like, so what happened? And like, I get so frustrated that it was unsolved and like there was no conclusion. And it was just like, but no, I still watch them all back to back because I'm a loser and I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff. But yeah, I'd watch it and I'd be like, oh, well, don't know who did it. like unsolved mysteries. But yeah, I loved them. Like, I had a love-hate relationship with them. I loved them, but yeah, they frustrated me.
Yeah, with stuff like that, you feel really good about watching it, but by the end of it, you want it to be like end like a nice, happy little, like, neatly finished.
Triapples, yeah.
Yeah, you want it to be like, exactly. You want it to either be like Murder, She Wrote or Diagnosis Murder. And you're like, yay.
Definitely. That's Angela Lansbury, isn't it? I just saw her face, like, you know, at the end of the episode where she does a little laugh. Like, oh, great. Just need her to come in at the end and sort it out. Amazing.
You find out the finale at the end of all of it, you find out she was the murderer all along.
Plot twist.
Yes, the ultimate twist. But my dad actually did make a joke about it a few years back after an episode. He went, why is it that people always die when she turns up in town?
like she's some kind of curse that just it's very true, actually. It's very incriminating, actually.
Yeah, I think he asked, I think he actually said something along the lines of I bet when she comes to visit Newtown, like everyone just deserts the place just in case.
She's coming. Run.
The omen is here.
And just like he's kind of like end of the world slow motion sequences of people just like, yeah, running away from her. Amazing.
And it's just like Angela Lansbury getting out of the car, like, what?
What have I done? Just come for a weekend away, guys.
I just need to find inspiration for my new novel. It's like, yeah, because we're going to be the new characters in the book. That's why we're running.
Literally. Oh, bless her.
Is she still knocking about? I can't remember.
Do you know what? I don't want to say and then be wrong. I'm going to very quickly Google her before I kind of kill her off because there's a part of me. No, yes, she did. She unfortunately has passed away in October last year.
Oh, wow, that was recent.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'm sure it was really, really recent, but I don't want to be like, no, she's dead. No, she is not. Yes, unfortunately so.
Anyway, yeah,
morbid
be,
fact of the day.
Like, yeah, she's a bit like Betty White, just sort of like lives on until she nearly hits the like triple digits.
Literally, yeah. Yeah, it honestly wouldn't have surprised me if she was like going to star in something next year. Just like, oh no, she's still going strong.
Still solving those mysteries. One thing I did wonder about. What would be your dream project? Like, if you had like unlimited, like if you had like a $50,000 budget and you can make what film you wanted.
Oh my word. Okay. What would I do? Oh, I know what I would do. Okay. So it would be all along the same theme because we have so many historical true crimes that we went through when we were making the Real Horror podcast. And there's a couple that just really, really stick with you. And one of them was a guy called Alfred Lowenstein. And he supposedly he was in his private jet. This is like, I'm sure it was like 20s, somewhere around there, 20s, 30s. And he was very, very well off, like ridiculously well off. I mean, he's like in a private jet, so, you know, he's done well for himself. But I think there was some money trouble happening. And so he was flying in his jet and he went to go to the toilet accidentally. Instead of going into the toilet, went out of the plane and just disappeared and probably fell to his death, which is just horrendous. But obviously there's a lot of like holes to be picked there with like, how do you accidentally open like the door to the outside of the plane midair and just walk out? And it's like a nut story because it's like he was only with about four other people on that plane, so it's like those people will be like the only people who actually ever knew what happened. And they all kind of claim that, oh, they didn't really notice, they just noticed he was gone a long time and then came to the conclusion that that must have been what happened, kind of thing. But the door, I believe, was still closed to the outside of the plane. So obviously it kind of begs the question of like, did he fall? Was he pushed? And it just like, it always sticks with me as like a real kind of like Agatha Christie style kind of murder mystery type film. And obviously that would be amazing because if I had the budget, we could actually get like a little mini private jet and have all the scenes taking place in there, explore kind of his lifestyle, be able to kind of spend money on, you know, the bigger set, slightly bigger cast and crew, and just really explore all the ideas behind that one. Because I mean, that's just another just nut story, because when he died they never recovered his body. Oh no, they recovered a body, but they didn't actually identify it. They identified because he was wearing a Rolex watch that was his apparently, and they didn't actually do any actual identification, and his wife never turned up to his funeral, and like he's an unmarked grave, so there's a lot of like dodgy. So maybe he's still alive, maybe he faked the whole thing and he actually just like went away to like a desert island somewhere to live, I don't know, like an alternate life. But yeah, there's just like there's so much there, and it's like I would love to do a full-blown feature of that and just explore what can happen there and like see it from everyone's different points of view, and just explore that whole kind of journey. That I'd love to do that. That would be really, really cool.
I'm really trying to work out the logistics of it.
What, of accidentally just jumping a plane?
Yeah.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. I mean, surely the other passengers would have felt a change in air pressure.
Yeah. There's so much wrong with their story that he just wasn't there. that he just kind of like went off to go to the toilet and just didn't come back. But there's so much wrong with that.
Now, how do you actually open a plane door? Like, you don't just try and try the handle and go, oh, I could do some WD-4 on this. This is a bit stiff, ain't it? And then fly out the door.
Like, literally, it's ridiculous. But yeah, and it's just like only the people that were on that plane know what's happened. And they obviously all catch them about it. But yeah, I think it's slightly different turning like the little paper thin toilet door handle compared to like that you kind of put all your body weight against it to get the big door open. Yeah, nuts.
Yeah, I mean, those things are built to, you know, not open when you're midair. So
literally their one job. Yeah.
I'm really trying to think about this now.
It's mad. Honestly, it really, like, when we were talking about it, like, it proper captured our imagination because it was, and it, I did actually end up, before we did the podcast, as part of what I was researching, there were a number of documentaries that I kind of looked into. And one of them, there was a guy that actually went to see, like, a replica, or it was either a replica or it was a plane that was built, like, the same sort of time as Alfred's. And, yeah, and he was like, there's no way you could get these two doors muddled. Like, they are completely, completely different things. So, yeah, it's complete. And again, it's frustrating. It's like unsolved mysteries things. It's like, I will never know. So I kind of love and hate that about it because it's just, they give so much scope. What happened?
The best way I can describe stuff like that is that really, it's like going to get your hair cut and only getting, like, the bulk of it done. But there's, like that little bit that hasn't been touched.
Yeah, I like
and you're
that.
Not allowed to fix it yourself. You're just there like, I fucking love the rest of it. It's just that little bit at the end that makes me want to rip it out.
You can't do anything. You literally can't do anything about it. You just know it's going to be like that. Yeah, I like that.
Yes, it's like an unfinished haircut.
That could be the tagline. Oh, hey, Alfred Lowenstein, the unfinished haircut. That could work. But yeah, just casually strolled out of a plane mid.
No. The only thing I can think of would be unless everyone else was like asleep on the plane, or if it was just like off his face on something.
Oh my gosh, what if they were all off their face and they didn't actually realise? Because let's be honest, that could actually have been a thing.
Yeah, because I mean, if whether it's like you got drugs in your system or you have a copious amount of alcohol.
Yeah,
you don't feel pain as much. So if you're literally trying to go for a door handle like that, that could happen. I mean,
logic goes out the window. Yeah,
exactly. You don't tend to feel pain, so you're less likely to, like, if you're hurting your hands trying to like wrench the door open, you're less likely to realize it.
And if everyone else is absolutely smashed, then it's like they're not going to pay attention or know what else is going on because they're just like involved with whatever the hell they're in. It'd be so easy to be distracted.
Mm.
Bloody hell. Maybe we've solved it.
Maybe.
But that is something like, that I...
Hannah, we've worked it out. They're all pissed.
Yeah. Quick. We've made an ending to the film. Everyone gets absolutely wasted.
Oh, dear.
Oh, I love it. Because we went through, like, picking apart all the different ways that... And I honestly, I can't remember off the top of my head now, but it was like there were all these different theories of what happened to him, and none of them were like he's absolutely smashed, and I love it, and I really hope that maybe that's actually just what happened, and it's just, I love it.
I'm thinking if you can afford a private jet, you can buy a lot of illegal substances, or you can buy like the best type of alcohol as well.
Literally, you can get your hands on whatever you want.
You know, it's a private jet, you can do what you want for a couple of hours, and you know, pay the pilot enough money, they'll keep quiet.
Definitely.
Yeah, because who would want to own up to like being absolutely off your tits and then sort of admit like, yeah, he had a bit too much and we didn't realise he opened the plane door and went for a walk.
Need some fresh air.
He's like, guys, it's a bit stuffy in here, isn't it? And then we've got flying out of the door.
Like, oh shit.
So whoops, get your seatbelts on. Oh dear.
What a great image. Oh my god.
Oh no. I'm trying not to think about it now.
I know, I've just got like this image of this guy like opening the plane and just whoop, straight out. Yeah,
it's like a Family Guy skit.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What have you ever watched a film and thought, I'd love to make that in my own style?
Oh, so me being a bit of a musical theatre lover, I absolutely adore Chicago, the film. And obviously that's all about Roxy and Velma, who are the two lead characters, who both end up killing their significant, well, not their significant others, but both killing guys that they're kind of with. And it's like, see, but I was thinking about, I love how the film's made, but I reckon you could, because it's musical theatre, everything kind of like, you've got like the Cell Block Tango song, which is where you meet all the other murderesses in prison, and they kind of tell you their story. And honestly, to any of your listeners, if you've never seen even just Cell Block Tango, just search it. It's like 6 minutes of like pure heaven. It's so good. Like the dancing is incredible. And it's, you hear all these different stories of these women basically just like have had enough of their husbands.
Oh, it's just like,
had it coming. He had it coming.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. Absolutely great. Like my favourite thing. And yeah, I think I'd just try and make it even darker. Like, I still love like the kind of like the sexiness and the kind of way that they're able to merge between Roxy and Velma, what's going on in their mind and what's going on in the real world, and how like the music kind of is the kind of pathway between the two. And I love that. I'd love to make it even darker and kind of play with that kind of almost sending them insane, that kind of like really play on that. Like they're so obsessed with fame that they'll just like kill again if they need to, and just play on that kind of like absolute descent into insanity, and maybe not have the nice ending that it currently does for the women. I don't know, but that would be a really fun one to go down, because I absolutely adore that film. I love the music and love the dancing, and like I say, Cell Block Tango is just my favorite. Yeah, I'd love to do that and just make it darker and play on that kind of them being driven insane by their own need to be center of the universe. Yeah,
the mental image for me is, imagine if it was like Chicago mixed with Replay, the genetic opera.
Oh. Yeah.
That's the kind of vibe I'm getting.
That would be, yeah. Yes. Oh, bloody hell. Oh, I love it. Yeah. But yeah, so that would definitely be, what a great project would that be? That'd be so much fun.
Oh, God. I can just imagine like, the fun people would have on set.
Well, do you know what? Oh, it'd be an absolute ball. It'd be an absolute ball. And do you know what? I suppose it comes back around to like what I was talking about earlier, is like the more fun and the more freedom you have set, like that has got to then feed into like the level of performance you can give as an actor, and the level you're willing to go to. Like, it'd be a bloody party on set. It'd be amazing.
It'd be really good to see. Even just the behind the scenes footage of that would be amazing.
It would be nuts there, yeah. It'd be so good.
So everyone sing their own version of He Had It Coming.
Yes, that I'd pay to see that. That'd be bloody good.
I'll be in the front row with you and Anna, like, yes.
I'd be all over it. I'd be singing along. You have to stop me getting up on stage. That would be the challenge. Oh, God.
That would be brilliant. Just the style of it would be nice as well.
Yeah, really pulling it down. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so where can our lovely listeners find you?
So for all things, we are all over the place. We are Real Horror on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Instagram we are _horror. And bear with me while I find out where we are on TikTok, because we are very new to TikTok. Bear with us, because we are not Generation TikTok, but we are trying our best. We are on Real Horror, real.horror on Instagram. So yeah, if you can hunt us out and give us a follow and just kind of try and see what we're all about, that would be incredible. Because like I say, with Bitch Trial, we're still in the crowdfunding stage. We're running an all or nothing campaign. So if we don't make our target before, I believe it's the 22nd of this month, everyone gets their money back, which is amazing, which means if you do decide to contribute, it is all risk-free. So if we don't make our £5,000, you will get a full refund of your money. But if we do make our £5,000, then you're guaranteed some amazing quality horror coming right your way. So it would be amazing if you could check us out, and if you're able to like, share, or get involved in any way, if you're able to support us at all, please do. It would be very, very much appreciated. Every share, every pound really, really does, with our little company, make the world a difference.
You can find Covenated Monsters on Facebook, Instagram, and Slasher app. It is also available on most listening platforms. You can buy us, you can help us out on Patreon for £3 a month for watch parties, movie suggestions, and subject suggestions. You can also buy some merch from our, what was it, Spreadshirt, Redbubble and Tmall store. And if you are interested, you can also buy some Eco Roast coffee and get a discount using the CM coupon code. Yeah, it's been lovely chatting to you.
Thank you very much for having me, Paul. It's been so much fun. So thank you so much for having me on. It's awesome.
So right, if you fancy it, we'll do another recording at some point.
Oh, thank you. That would be so much fun. And we'll see if we can get Anna along next time as well, because that would be awesome. I know she'd love to do it at some point as well. So that'll be what we'll have to do.
Have a good natter.
yeah, literally. It'll be like with all three of us, I reckon. It'll be maybe like, you know, one of those ones where you have to like split it in half because it's like a hard one off.
Oh God, it'll be a mouthful episode.
But no, it would be awesome time and catch up with you again. Because like I say, it's been wonderful to meet you. So thank you for having me.
No, it's been lovely chatting to you.